Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Let us turn in the Word of God to Luke chapter 10. We'll read from verse 38 to 42. Luke 10, 38 to 42. Let's hear the Word of the living God. Now it happened as they went that they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. This is the word of God. It was at the end of the rainy season and the beginning of summer. In Bethany, a village just 3 kilometers east of the temple in Jerusalem, on the east slope of the Mount of Olives. It was the home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Martha welcomed the Lord Jesus and his followers into her home in Bethany. This was not Martha's first opportunity to welcome the Lord to her home in Bethany. As a gracious hostess, Martha welcomed the Lord and arranged comfortable seating for the Lord and his disciples and brought them refreshing drinks, washed their feet from the dust and dirt of the paths they had trod, and then other inhabitants of Bethany crowded in to hear more of the teachings and the parables of the Lord. At first, both Martha and Mary were sitting at the Lord's feet. Soon over, Martha would have felt the burden of her duty as the hostess to provide for all these guests. And doubtless, while sitting there, she would have started to make a mental inventory of the things that she had in the pantry, planned out a menu, and began a checklist for the tasks that needed to be done. Then she would probably have glanced around the room to see the best route out amongst the crowd so that she could escape without being disruptive. The call of duty must have pressed heavily upon her. And you can imagine that once in the kitchen, she would have been energized and exhilarated by the opportunity to show her love in action for the Lord Jesus Christ. She was determined to prepare the best meal possible, and evidently she busied herself in a whirlwind of activity, preparing everything possible. But somewhere, her enthusiastic labor of love was derailed into frustration and anger. Perhaps she realized she was running out of time, and she could not realistically complete all the preparations in time. The labor of love became a frustrating burden. The harder she worked, the more frustrated she became, and her frustrations began to focus on her younger sister, Mary. It was really Mary's fault. If Mary had been there to help her, she might have been finished already. It's bad enough having all this work to do, but it's worse when someone we think should be helping us lets us down and is not helping with the load. Mary was not pulling her weight. At some point, this annoyance developed into irritation, and then frustration and anger. It was also unfair. In Luke 10:40, we read that Martha complained to the Lord Jesus, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Perhaps Mary had already tried to signal, maybe Martha had already tried to signal Mary, and perhaps Mary had been ignoring her signals, or shrugged off Martha's attempts to gain her attention and nudge her to take up her duties in the kitchen. Now Martha expresses her frustrations directly to the Lord, actually accusing him of not caring. Lord, do you not care? Martha was sure that if the Lord really cared, he would tell Mary to get up and come and help her. Martha was sure that if the Lord really cared, he had demonstrated his love by lightening her load. And actually the Lord did lighten her load, but not in the way that Martha expected. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. It was not the work that Martha was doing that was the problem. It was her attitude at this point. What she had initially intended as a labor of love had now become a frustrating burden, to the extent that she had publicly humiliated her sister and interrupted the teachings of the Lord, effectively accusing him of not caring. Instead of blessing the Lord and his followers with gracious hospitality, which surely was her original intention, Martha had now created a scene which doubtless spoiled the atmosphere and soured the situation. The Lord did not rebuke the work she was doing, but her lack of balance. This report on the Lord's visit to Martha and Mary's home in Bethany comes immediately after the teaching on the parable of the Good Samaritan. A lawyer tried to trap the Lord by asking him, what did he need to do to inherit eternal life? The Lord responded by asking, well, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? The Lord often answered a question with another question. The lawyer responded with the great commandment from Deuteronomy 6. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The Lord commended his answer and said, you have answered rightly, do this and live. The lawyer could have left it at that, but wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Then the Lord answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell amongst thieves, who stripped him of his clothing and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw me, pass by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal and brought him to the inn and took care of him. And the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you need and spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So, which of the three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell amongst thieves? And the lawyer had to admit, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. The Bible makes it clear that love is not mere words and talk. True love shows itself in action. And this is surely what Martha had intended to do. She was showing her love through service. She was seeking to meet the needs of our Lord Jesus Christ and of his disciples. And in many ways, Martha was being a good Samaritan. She was seeking to love the Lord with all her heart, with all her soul, with all her mind, and with all her strength, and her neighbor as herself. However, she had allowed her labor of love to be derailed into a burden of frustration. The Lord did not rebuke her for making preparations. As the hostess of the home, it was her duty to see that her guests were well cared for. Hospitality is a major command repeatedly throughout Scripture. However, she had tried to impress with an elaborate meal of too many dishes. When the Lord was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, he responded, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The Lord did not say that man does not live on bread at all. He said, man does not live on bread alone. We are bodies, but we are more than bodies. We are body, mind, and spirit. We do need bread. However, we need to feed our minds and souls with the word of God as well. The order of the great command is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to love our neighbor as ourselves. God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Mary had gotten her priorities right. She was first feeding her mind and soul with the word of God. Imagine the tremendous opportunity and privilege it must have been to have the Lord Jesus Christ himself visiting her home. What an opportunity. Yes, it was an opportunity to express love through service, love in action, but the first priority was to hear the word of God from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Our Lord was teaching, and Martha, who had begun by sitting at Jesus' feet, had soon slipped out to busy herself with the preparations of an elaborate meal. Our Lord was actually making a play on words, which was a bit lost in the English. But what the Lord effectively said is, you have been busy preparing many dishes, but Mary's chosen the best dish. It's a matter of priorities and attitude. Food preparation was necessary, but perhaps less, more simply prepared, would have been more appropriate that day to allow Mary and Martha to both continue sitting, learning from the Lord on that special day when the Lord visited their home. Martha comes across as practical, competent, down-to-earth, hard-working, diligent in her duties. We certainly need more Marthas in our churches. Martha's work is good and necessary, but Mary's attitude of hunger and thirst for the Word of God, her openness to the Lord's teaching, is essential. The reality is, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be both Marthas and Marys. Our walk with the Lord is even more important than our work for the Lord, but they're both important. You've probably heard the chorus, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." But the better one is, "Count your many blessings, name them two by two, count your blessings, name them four by four, count your blessings, name them by the score, and it will surprise you, but there are millions more." And the best variation I've heard is, "Count your obligations, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord wants done." We do need hard-working, diligent, work ethic Marthas in our churches, in our missions, in our society today. We need those who put love in action, be good Samaritans, go and do likewise. We are saved to serve. However, we need to be careful if we're serving in the right attitude. And we need to get our priorities right. First, we need to sit at the Lord's feet and hear from Him, learn from Him, before we can get busy for the Lord. Listening to the Word of God, learning from the Word of God, is essential before service for God and His kingdom, which is why the Protestant reformers put the pulpit central and put a table with an open Bible, often where the altar had been, to remind us that our first duty is to hear from God. It is the Word of God that inspires us and equips us for our service to God and His creatures. What our Lord Jesus wanted on that day was not an elaborate meal of many courses, but the attention of Martha herself. The one dish she could not prepare in the kitchen was her relationship of devotion to the Lord. She needed to allow Him to feed her mind and soul with His teachings before she could effectively prepare her labor of love in the kitchen with the right attitude. Martha wanted the Lord to lighten her load that day. And He did lighten her load, but not in the way she anticipated. We need to hear from God. When man listens, God speaks. Mary chose to invest time in her primary duty, her primary responsibility, by sitting at the feet of Jesus learning. She chose not to be distracted by anything else on that wonderful day when the Lord came to their house. Martha must become a Mary, and Mary must be a Martha. Both are sisters. We need devotion and dedication. We need worship and work ethic. We need love for God and love for our neighbor and his creatures. I learned this lesson on my first cross-border mission to Mozambique back in 1982. During my 2 years military service, the Bible study and prayer meeting that I'd run, we had frequently prayed through Operation World on all-night prayer meetings, and of all the countries in the world, Mozambique was most gripped to my heart. Our near neighbor, communist country, listed as the least evangelized country in the southern hemisphere, not even 4% of total population Protestants at that time. Nobody under 18 allowed in the church, not a Bible for 1,000 church members. A Marxist-Leninist country, officially atheistic, missions is illegal. And the conviction grew in our prayer meetings that God was calling me to deliver Bibles to the Christians in Mozambique. And as the Jesus Film came out that very year, 1981, as I left the army, the burden was, let's take the Jesus Film into Mozambique, 16mm projector, and show them the gospel and proclaim the gospel to them. So when I was discharged in the army, I invested all my army savings of the 2 years into acquiring the Bibles, the New Testaments, The Gospels, a 16mm Jesus film. She loaded into my off-road motorbike, head across the border into Mozambique. It was incredible how God guided, provided, and protected. Through Ambush Alley, from Swaziland, all the way down through to Maputo. Extraordinary. But I was quite shaken when I met the Christians suffering in Mozambique. After delivering all that had been so sacrificially and lovingly prepared, our host informed us, we need to take you to report you to the local block commissar. And we were stunned. I'd expected to meet people like Richard and Sabrina Vombrandt. I'd been reading Vanya and all the different books of Christians who suffered in Russia, and to find that my romanticized view of the persecuted church was not exactly replicated in Mozambique was totally shocking and discouraging, disillusioning. And to meet such small-minded, petty, selfish individuals who were willing to take everything we had bought and then go and report us to the local commissar was horrific. Now, by God's grace, the commissar was away at a Frelimo communist convention, and I remember thinking, we'd better be out of town before he gets back. But as we returned, our host then quite insistently demanded my watch, my boots, and my towel. Now, I didn't have a second watch, a second pair of footwear, and I didn't have another towel. In fact, I didn't even have the 10 rand, which was the last money I had in the world when I crossed the border, where I had nothing financially left in the whole world. Everything had been invested in this cross-border mission to serve the suffering, and to say that I was disillusioned would be an understatement. The next morning, in my quiet time, we were working through John at the time, I read John 21, 15 to 17. Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Tend my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. And God spoke to me through that passage. How much clearer could it be? Am I doing this for the Lord or am I doing this for the people? Now, of course, we're serving people. We're trying to reach people. And they will let us down, inevitably, as we will let them down on occasions too. Why was I in Mozambique? Was I there for the people? Was I there for praise? Was I there for gratitude? Was I there for their appreciation? Or was I there as a sacrifice as unto the Lord? John 21 verse 22 says, what is that to you? Follow you me. And again, how much more powerful could the Lord put? What does it matter to you what happens to other people or how they respond? You follow me, says the Lord. I love the Lord, and I'm in missions because he first loved me, because he died for me, because he called me. I'm serving him. It is for his sake, and I must seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And we're working primarily for the well done, good and faithful from the Lord's mouth himself on the day of judgment. Now that perspective did revolutionize my life. I could not allow people to disappoint me and disillusion me. I am serving the Lord. I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for the Lord first and foremost. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. How much more powerfully, clearly can the scripture make it? Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord and not as unto men. Now without that perspective, I must be honest and say that might have been my last mission. But since then, I've made more than 100 missions behind enemy lines into communist, Muslim, restricted access countries to serve persecuted churches. Out of love for the Lord Jesus and in gratitude for his grace, mercy, and salvation. And I must say, I've met many a small-minded, many a disappointing response. But I haven't let it affect me and bother me like the first mission threatened to do. When we keep balanced, we keep our focus on serving the Lord, seeking first his kingdom. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom your faith depends from beginning to end. When we do that, we'll find that the Lord enables us to do what needs to be done with joy and with satisfaction and with fulfillment. Now, that's not the last we hear about Martha and Mary. It goes further into John chapter 11. John chapter 11 verse 1 we read, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, in the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. And the disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you are going there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone works in day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. But if one walks in the night, if he stumbles, because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to him, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I might wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about his taking a rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to him plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who's called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Thomas was one of the more pessimistic characters, I presume. Lazarus was sick, and his sisters Mary and Martha turned at once to their friend Jesus, hoping he would come quickly and heal their brother before it was too late. They knew he could heal the sick. Knowing that the Lord loved their family, they expected him to set out immediately for Bethlehem to do what he could to spare their anxiety and their grief. Yet the Lord did not respond in the way that the sisters had hoped. Instead of leaving at once for Bethany, he stayed. He tarried where he was for 2 more days. Now, we do not want to believe that the Lord would allow anything difficult or painful to come into our lives. However, God's love does not guarantee us shelter from difficulty or traumatic experiences. Noah and his family were not saved from the flood. They were saved in the flood. The children of Israel had to pass through the Red Sea. God did not airlift them over it or take them around it. They went through the Red Sea. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not protected from the fiery furnace, but they were protected and preserved in the fiery furnace, and the Lord was with them in the fiery furnace. Daniel was not protected from the lion's den. He was protected in the lion's den. Sometimes painful experiences are absolutely essential for our spiritual growth. The Lord's delay left Mary and Martha suspended between hope and fear, and they suffered the anguish of watching their beloved brother sink into death, and they experienced the agony of seeing Lazarus die, and then they had to prepare his body for burial. And all the time they must be wondering, why did the Lord not come in time? He wasn't that far away. And now they're experiencing disillusionment and bereavement. Yet the Lord was deliberately delaying. He was completely in control of the situation. Jesus knew that Mary and Martha could not know him as the resurrection and the life unless Lazarus died. David could not have known God as his rock and his fortress had he not been hunted by King Saul in the mountains of En-Gedi. And the Hebrews could not have known God as their deliverer had they not been slaves in Egypt. Our painful experiences can purge us and purify us and prepare us for more powerful and productive service. So when Jesus came, he found that day that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And Martha responded, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, who has come into the world. When our Lord finally arrived in Bethlehem, in Bethany, Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. Many had come from Jerusalem to Bethany to comfort Martha and Mary in the loss of their brother. His body had been anointed with spices and ointments and wrapped in linen garments, and the woman had led the funeral procession to the tomb. As long as the dead body was in the house, the family was forbidden to prepare food, to eat food, to drink, or to study. As soon as the body was carried out, all furniture was turned upside down and mourners had to sit on the ground. Deep mourning was to last 7 days, during which nobody could wash or anoint themselves, put on shoes, or engage in any study or any business. 30 days of lighter mourning followed the weeks of heavy mourning. This is the way it was before the time of Christianity. It was in the middle of the period of deep mourning that the Lord entered the village. Violating the conventions of the time, Martha went out of the home to meet him, while Mary stayed in the house. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Yet Martha could add, But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give to you. The Lord responded, Your brother will rise again. Martha responded, I know that he'll rise in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus responds, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, responds Martha. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Martha knew the truth, and she had the doctrine of the resurrection right. In this, she had a far stronger spiritual base than the Sadducees, the religious leader. The leaders of that time did not believe in resurrection. But she did not find enough comfort in that future event. The Lord then turned her understanding of the resurrection as a future event into a present reality. I am the resurrection and the life. Death is not the end of life. It is the door to eternal life. It is wrong to call this world the land of the living. This is the land of the dying. We should recognize that at this moment we are in the land of the dying, but heaven is the land of the living. That is more accurate. After this great statement that Jesus is the resurrection life, he challenges Martha directly, Do you believe this? Personal faith is essential. We cannot have a second-hand faith. God does not have grandchildren. You cannot depend upon the faith of your parents and your grandparents. Do you believe? Martha's response was wholehearted. Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's clear that Martha's grown spiritually since that early episode that we read about in Luke 10. And when she had said these things, she went away and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, The teacher's come and is calling for you. And Mary came out and fell at his feet, saying, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. At this time of grief, it now seems that Martha's faith is stronger than Mary's. Mary, the one who previously looked so much more spiritual sitting at the Lord's feet, now seems so overwhelmed by her grief and sorrow, she could not say anything more than the apparent rebuke, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when the Lord saw her weeping, and the Jews had come with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit, and he was troubled, and he said, Where have you laid them? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then they said, See how he loved him. And some asked, Could not this man, who opened the eyes of the blind, could not he have kept Lazarus from dying? When the Lord saw her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and he was troubled. And we read that Jesus wept, the shortest verse in the Bible, just two words. Again, we read that Jesus groaned in himself, that he shuddered with indignation. He was deeply moved. Here the Lord is face to face with the effects of the fall, death, misery, broken hearts, sorrow. And this is why the Lord has come into the world, to deliver us from the curse of death and sin and eternal condemnation. The Lord came to die in our place, to take upon himself all the guilt and all the shame. The Lord wept, and then he acted. he spoke four times. First, the Lord spoke to the mourners, take away the stone. God works with an economy of effort, with an economy of divine power. He requires us to do everything within our power before he does what only he can do. We cannot expect God to act until we've done all that is humanly possible. When we've done all that we can do, then we can trust God to do what we cannot do. Martha protested, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he's been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? And the second time Jesus spoke, it was to his father. Father, I thank you that you've heard me and that I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who stand by, I say this, that they might believe that you sent me. The third time Jesus spoke, he commanded Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. And the man who had been dead stumbled out of the tomb, his hands and his feet wrapped in strips of linen, a towel wrapped around his face. Here we see the power of God bringing the dead to life. The fourth time Jesus spoke, it was to the astonished audience, loosen and let him go. The shocked bystanders needed to touch Lazarus and see for themselves that this is no ghost. He's actually bodily risen from the dead, and he is alive again. We then read that many of those who had come to comfort Martha and Mary believed in Jesus, but some of the Jews went to the Pharisees and told them all the things that Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and began to plot to kill Jesus. In Glastonbury, Somerset, England, I've been to the church where the tomb of Lazarus is. The local people there say that Joseph Arimathea brought Mary, Martha and Lazarus to England to establish the church there in southwestern England in Somerset, where Lazarus enjoyed another 40 years of life and service on earth before he went to be with the Lord, and he's buried in Glastonbury. As Jesus said, he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. We may not understand God's will, but we can trust it. We can trust his perfect timing. We can trust God in the most difficult of circumstances. Attitude is everything. Balance is needed. Even when we do not understand, we must trust God. Are you both a Martha and a Mary in your devotion to Christ and your work ethic? Martha and Mary are sisters. They must work together. We need to be serving God with our head, heart, and hands. We need to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, putting feet to our faith because we are saved to serve. As the Lord said, go and do likewise. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank and praise you for your love and your mercy, for your grace and your loving kindness. We thank you, Lord God, for the tremendous examples we find in Scripture. We thank you for Martha, for Mary, and for Lazarus. We thank you, Lord God, that you are the resurrection and the life. And we pray, Lord God, that you would deepen our faith, that you would widen our vision, that you'd energize our service for you and for those around us. We pray it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.